Isaiah chapter 35. Let's just get right into the text here. When Jesus Christ comes back, in verse 8 of Isaiah 35, there's going to be a highway, shall be there, and a way, and it should be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for these that are here. We're very, very thankful for the opportunity tonight to be able to preach the words of God. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to fill us in such a way that when we open this book and teach, Lord, the words going right directly into the hearts and minds of our folks that are gathered here. And I pray, Lord, that the spiritual application of this passage will be a great blessing and also cause us a great deal of love and appreciation for something you've given us in Jesus Christ. We ask you to do it in the Lord's name. Amen. Now, the way of holiness in this passage concerns a highway. You see that at the beginning of verse 8. And highway shall be there. And this highway is a highway that in Isaiah 35, 8 is for the redeemed. Notice here in the last part of verse 9, but the redeemed shall walk there and the ransom of the Lord shall return. So when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, there are those that are saved, that are redeemed, that are ransomed. And this is the path, this is what they get to walk on. It's a highway, and it's what they get to walk on to get them back to Zion. And it's not for the unclean. Notice he says there in verse 8, right in the middle, the unclean shall not pass over it. It's not for the wayfaring man, like a drifter. In the last part of verse 8, the wayfaring men, though fools, even those that are feeble-minded, shall not err therein. Notice the lion. No lion shall be there in verse 9, not even a ravenous beast. In other words, they're perfectly protected. They're holy, so there's nothing unclean that affects them, and they're on their way back to Zion. And they're going to be filled with songs and joy and gladness as they're going back, and their sorrow and their sighing shall flee away. Now, that's the doctrinal application of this passage. And when I taught this passage sometime back in Sunday school, that's how we handled it. But when I got to reading through there again, I began to imagine what it's going to be like for those ransomed Jews to return along that highway, what that song is going to be like. You know, it's like soldiers that are entrenched and all of a sudden the war is over and they get the news and they actually get to really celebrate that they've survived the war and that kind of thing. These folks are going to have gone through a horrible, horrible time of tribulation. And for the first time in years, they're going to be able to walk on this road and not be molested by any evil thing. And you can just see them just beat and worn by all that time. And as they get closer and closer to Zion, you can see the security that they're enjoying, and you can see the increasing joy in anticipation of arriving, the reality of their salvation is going to sink in. I'm not heading from one bad place down an easy road to another bad place. I'm going where forever now we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and never again to be dispersed by an enemy. That is a great rejoicing. This is a wonderful, wonderful time for them. And when I think about this, I realize there is a spiritual application for you and me in this passage. And that spiritual application concerns our church. In other words, our church ought to be a way of holiness for those who have been saved from the awful pit of sin in the world. That when people get saved, they have whatever kind of life and whatever kind of background in sin that was there, and when they come here, suddenly they have found a place of holiness where people are gathered that rejoice. And this is the road that we travel until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and receives us to take us to heaven. Just think with me for a moment through what you see in this passage in church. in church, as on the way of holiness, I see the redeemed, that's us, those that are here. First of all, separate from the unclean world. You see that again there in verse 8? A highway shall be there, a way. It's called the way of holiness, and the unclean shall not pass over. You know, when you leave here tonight and you go to your home, you're going to go by all kinds of unclean things. You're going to see advertisements on billboards. Sometimes the advertisement is designed to catch your attention, and it's designed to catch your attention with something you really oughtn't to see. Sometimes it's an advertisement for something you oughtn't to drink. Or it's an advertisement for something you really shouldn't be thinking about. Or it's an advertisement that reminds you of something that you used to do before you got saved. You really don't want to do anymore. Yeah, that's just simple stuff. And then you get home, and if you turn the television on, you're just trying to find out the news. Now suddenly there's advertising on there for something you really don't want to have any association with. Or you may go to the store to shop, and somebody there says something unkind or something vile. Perhaps you decided with your family one day you just want to prop your feet up, turn something on, and you think you're watching a G-type movie, and the next thing you know, somebody's taking the name of God in vain. And on it goes. I don't need to explore what they used to call, when I was in high school, the cesspool that's out there. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a lot of unclean stuff in the world these days. And it affects us. And for a brief time on Wednesday, and for a brief time on Sunday, you get to come here. And when you're here, you're, thank God, in a way of holiness. You are separate from the unclean thing. The Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you and be a father unto you. Be sons and daughters unto me." I'm not saying that we're perfect, but I'll tell you what, there's a respite here. I like being in church with God's people. Because you know what? You're not going to say an unkind thing. You're not going to bring in my imagination, I'm not going to bring in your imagination, something that we're trying to stay away from. We're going to encourage each other in righteousness and remind each other that Jesus Christ is coming back. And for a while, you and I get to be in a place that's not only physically clean, but it's spiritually clean. Our thoughts are right here. Our motives are right here. Our desires are right here. And people don't want to say things that bring up bad stuff. Church, like this way of holiness, I see redeemed people separate from the unclean world, and I'm thankful for it. I like it. I like it when we get together like that because I get to have a good time. And it's, what do they say? It's good, clean fun. I'll tell you something else. In church, as on this way of holiness, I see the redeemed safely enjoy fellowship together. Notice what he says here in verse 8, "The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." And I said safely enjoy fellowship. You know what? Moms and dads are in here tonight and your children are over there. But you're not worried about somebody molesting them or harming them. You know what we did? We took very, very careful pains to teach teachers to be careful with children. We did background checks. We put in safeguards as much as you possibly can. And then we pray like crazy for the safety of our children. Why? So for one time, you can be here to get something that's going to encourage you, and they can be there to get something that's going to encourage them, and you don't have to be thinking, what are they up to? Or what's somebody else up to? Again, I say that churches in general are not perfect, and we should never, ever let our guard down, but with all the right things in place, we can give children a holy place to spend some time together. Holiness is in the Lord. I think about the teen rec room and they get to go in there and play ping pong and things like that. And I'm not worried about somebody trying to slip them dope or slip them something that they're not supposed to have. I'm not worried about somebody going out behind the two modular buildings and finding, like they do on other places, you know, girls trying to molest each other and boys trying to get in fist fights in the parking lot. All the stuff you know about that I don't... What do you say? I'm glad that we have a place in this world that's like a little way of holiness where people can safely enjoy fellowship together. I'm looking back here. I'm seeing Ryan sitting back there next to Kim, and the thought just came in my mind how much of a pleasure it must have been for her and how much fun I think it was for Ryan. And how much I enjoyed it when we were over in the trailer and we had just kind of, that was our office and had a little Sunday school room there. And Ryan would come in just, you know, he grew up. That's all I can say. And he'd pick a fight with me with rubber bands. And he couldn't shoot. He couldn't shoot from here to that chair and hit that chair. But I could shoot and hit him wherever I wanted to. And I did a lot. And then he'd scream and holler and carry on and run right by Kim. Kim's trying to do work and her son's running by, screaming and carrying on. Then he'd go lock himself in that Sunday school room that didn't have a lock. And I'd pry that door open and he'd lie on the floor there and I'd finally push him back and get in there and shoot him with a rubber band, tickle him, and he'd go crazy and scream and holler. How great that is to grow up and know you were in a safe environment to have fellowship with your pastor. And he's still here on a Wednesday night sitting back there. He's a long way away. I couldn't shoot him with a rubber band right now. But it, you know what that is? That's safe fellowship. You can't have that anywhere else in the world. I'll tell you what, in churches on the way of holiness, I see the redeemed also shelter from the devil. Look here in verse 9. No lion shall be there. Now, I've told you before when I'm preaching, I realize the devil's here to try to interrupt the message between my heart and my mind, between my mind and my lips, between my lips and your ear, between your ear and your mind, between your mind and your heart. I realize that. But I'm going to tell you something. You get a bunch of folks in here for Jesus Christ living according to this word and armed with the whole armor of God, you got something going on. John chapter 10 shows us a sheep coat, basically. Jesus Christ describes a place where sheep go, and there's a wall there, and those that want to molest the sheep, that want to harm the sheep, have to come over that wall. They come in another way, and he says when they do, they're a thief. But he said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door to the sheep. This is how they go out to pasture, and this is how they come back in. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd, good shepherd, layeth down his life for the sheep. And I love being in church where here, again, we don't drop down our guard. I realize that what the devil can do, but I'll tell you, this is not the kind of place where he's welcome. This is our place. This is the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst. And I know one thing. When Jesus is around, the devil doesn't do so well. He said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And Jesus Christ already triumphed over the devil, making a show of him openly at the cross of Calvary. And you know, you and I can cry out to the Lord for help, and he can deal with that lion. He always does. If David, a man, can take a lion and a bear and deal with them without a weapon, you know the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with our adversary, the devil. And I like being here. It's like a way of holiness. I'll tell you something else. In church, as on the way of holiness, I see the redeemed scatter away the wolves. Look what he says in verse 9. Nor any ravenous beast shall go thereupon. You know, Paul was very careful with the elders of Ephesus. He got them all together and he said, now look, guys. He said, you feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He said, after my departing, I know that grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock. You know, I'm telling you what, there are evil beasts. They come up, they're wolves. They come up in the form of men. Jesus Christ sent out his disciples and he said, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He tells them, beware of men. Be harmless as doves, wise as serpents. I'm going to tell you something. There are men, We've had instances. They came in here, you thought everything, you thought they were, you thought they had all the right idea. And they didn't. Their purpose was to get inside of a ministry and form their own ministry and take some of the sheep with them. And I'll tell you what, and the Lord scattered them. The Lord took care of it. Pray like crazy, deal heads up, to take care of the sheep. Boy, I'll tell you what. Listen, you don't stand a chance in the long term being separated from the flock. You don't. When people start coming to church after they get saved, I'll tell you what, the devil lots of times will put a little something in there to get them separated so the wolves can get a hold of them. And I'm telling you what, man, the Jehovah's Witnesses and all those crowds, they're like vultures just waiting to swoop down. One of the best things that can happen to a folk when they get saved is get right back in here and stay. It's like a way of holiness. Why? Because I see the redeemed scatter away the wolves. And then I see something else. I see in church as on the way of holiness, the redeemed set their sights on heaven. See what happens here in verse 10? The ransom of the Lord shall return. The ransom of the and come to Zion. You know we're going to heaven one of these days? First time I ever started hearing about that, I heard a man say, now I'm not setting any dates. I'm basing this upon the Bible and I'm basing this upon whether or not our calendars are right. And if our calendars are right, Jesus is coming back May the 14th, 1989. That's been 25 years ago. But you know what it did? It got me looking. The Bible says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know what I got about a crick in my neck from looking up? Well, I like coming to church because when we're here, my Jesus, I love thee. We get to start singing some songs. Well, I'm jumping ahead of myself because that's the next thing here. But you know what it does? It encourages me and reminds me to keep my mind on the coming Savior. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. And of course, one time zone is singular to that time zone. Nobody else gets to have that time zone. I'd like him to come on a Sunday morning service. Just boom, right through the ceiling. Right in the crescendo of a song about when we all get to heaven or some good thing like that and just fly right on out of here. I mean, if Lois Bush got to keep saying to me, today would be a great day for the Lord to come, and she always wanted to play piano in church, and she got to play piano, go out to eat, lay down on her bed and take a nap and wind up in heaven, I want him to come when we're right in the middle of a good song service just shouting praises at the Lord, going to heaven and poof, right on out of here. You never want to lose sight of that. And coming back to church reminds you, you see, you're going to leave here and you're going to go home and there's bills to pay. You're going to go home and there's maintenance. You're going to go home and there's a vehicle to deal with. You're going to go home and there's a child out of sorts. You're going to go home and there's something. But not here. For a little while, on the way of holiness, we get to put all that stuff outside the room and we get to start talking about Jesus Christ and we all get to do it together and we're all waiting to go to heaven. And then I see here in the churches in the way of holiness, the redeemed sing songs of joy and gladness, which is what they do at the end of verse 10. And we got to do that today. I shouldn't tell Bobby this. I love to preach, but I also love to sing. And sometimes when he sends me a text on Wednesday saying I can't be there, and he hadn't been able to get in touch with Jeremy, particularly during daylight savings time because he has to work late, I go, yeah. Only because it is great to stand here before you and lead singing and watch you transform from what you were when you got here, which is a saint that's kind of a little bit beat up by the world, to what happens when we're done singing. And everybody looks up like that. You got a big radiant smile on your face. You go, amen. And we all sit down and think, well, that's something. And then we go right behind that and start blessing the Lord. Let me tell you something. That singing those songs of Zion will do something to your heart. And it's always better either in the shower or with everybody in church. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, I don't know what the Lord's going to do. He's got his schedule. I look forward to our church growing and more people getting used to singing and singing together. I love to be in a congregation where everybody's singing out and really meaning it from the heart and the Lord being praised. Now listen, church hadn't always been like this. The world has crept in. Evil men have defiled some sheep. The devil has devoured some sheep. Wolves have come in and scattered a flock in two or four or six different churches. The saints have started looking down and quit looking for the Lord's return and their flight to heaven. Sorrow and sighing have replaced the songs of Zion. Folks, we can't let that happen here. We can't let that happen here. This is a way of holiness for us. We must always walk in that way and sing those songs and look for the Lord and scatter the wolves and shelter each other from the devil and take care to have safe fellowship and separate from the unclean world. It's a good place to be. Amen. Father, I'm thankful tonight for the encouragement from this little scripture here, this spiritual application. Lord, we do pray that you will fulfill in us, not something that we can boast about, but something that we can glorify you in. It's impossible for this way to be holy without you. You said, without me, you can do nothing. None of these things that we've just talked about here would be possible without you. You are honored and glorified in it all, but Father, we pray that you'll continue to make it that really fine place that it's become in our hearts, a way of holiness where these things can be enjoyed. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.